worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Obey His word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know Him, but we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in
Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you this morning here as we open up God's Word once again. And we'll see how many verses we get through. This is not a race. We're just trying to take God's Word as it comes at us, going concept by concept. Some want to dig down word for word for word. And I want to tell you why I struggle with the idea of word for word for word. How do we know that the word that we have translated in a particular version is just exactly what it's supposed to be? Concept by concept, I do believe that Bible translators have gotten it concept by concept right, maybe even line by line right. But I've watched some that strain at American words, and we need to remember that the Bible wasn't written in English. The Bible was written in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and those languages are the primary languages of the Scriptures. And when I follow along, when I'm in church listening to somebody else, especially if they're in the New Testament, I have my Greek Testament open along and on my phone, my app, and follow along there. And you just need to understand that. I believe God has given us word for word in His Word everything He wants us to have. Translating into Arabic or into a particular other language of a people group might be one that. You know, how do we know word for, but concept by concept? So we try to go concept by concept. And yes, we do try to pick up on some of the nuances, but I want to give that little disclaimer, and push back just a little bit on some that, you know, it says two here. Well, okay. I got to go back to the original. Does it really say two? Does it really have the or not have the? I mean, those, then it makes a difference back in original languages. Hope I'm making sense. You can trust the Bible concept by concept as you go through these two verses we're going to look at here to begin our morning. We can trust the concept of what is there. Absolutely. And you might read it in the Message, which is a paraphrase. You might read it in the New Living Translation. You might read, which is what we have open this morning. Or you might read it in the NIV or the NASB or something, and you find these little nuances of difference. But what's the concept that's being communicated? That is what we want to look at and really draw from and be kind of careful that we don't hang too much on one particular word from the English translation. Now, that's not to say that even you can't, that you shouldn't trust word for word. I mean, I think that is largely good, but I just see some people drilling down so much on one word sometimes that maybe they go beyond what is actually the original author's intent. So let's start with prayer here this morning, right out of the gate prayer request for Zara's father in the hospital. It's in the comments there. You can read the comments right here. So Father, we do want to stop and pray for Zara's father in the hospital. Do not know circumstances, but she has the concern. And so we lift her dad to you, her father to you, and pray that you'd be at work in him, in his body physically. Give the medical care personnel wisdom, direction in his care. Lord, we do not know the state of his salvation, of his soul. So if he is not a believer, draw him to faith in Jesus. Lord, if it takes your healing touch upon his body to cause him to believe, then would you give your healing touch upon his body that he would believe, Lord? That is our prayer. And also, Lord, we do pray, just has been shared sometimes along the way, Zara and others in her congregation, various illnesses that they have, Father, that you would minister to them and strengthen them. And Lord, anywhere else in the world that's listening, even us here in America, Lord, that we have our own ills and problems and difficulties. And I have my own that have been quite troubling of late. And Father, I pray that you would cause us just to keep our eyes on you, and to take to heart this next verse that we will look at here this morning, looking into your word, seeing what it has to say to us. Lord, increase our faith, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. While I land on that, increase our faith, we pray, the apostles said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And that is a good word. That's a very good word. Because I don't know about you, I need increased faith. I have something I've been praying about now for some time. And I'm just being honest with you. I'm not seeing the type of resolved answer, direct answer that I'm looking for. And now I might be looking in the wrong place. And maybe you're one who prays for something and prays and you're not seeing it either. But What should we do? We pray with the apostles here, show us how to increase our faith. Now, some of the answer for me in this, the prompting that I sense in my own being, which I would say is the prompting of the Holy Spirit, comes in the form of two words. And those two words are trust me, the Father telling me via the Spirit into my heart, trust me. Will you trust me? And now I want to say there are some actions, some works, and I will tell you a little bit more of what this is about. Pretty much everything I do, I have to pay for on the front and get reimbursed through the account. And there are some larger things that I just simply don't have the cash reserve to front the cost and then get reimbursed on. And so I'm praying and saying, Father, help me to get to the place where I've got the front-end cash reserves that I can go ahead and do these different projects that need to get done and then get reimbursed. Now, you know, I'm okay within a certain range, but some of the larger things that need to happen, it's just that place. And so that's my prayer. Now, I don't know what your prayer might be, and you can pray with me on that. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm asking you to pray with me on that front. Enough said on that. But you might also have prayer requests. For instance, some of you praying for physical healing. And where's Father? Where you're praying for the healing, but where's the healing? Lord, increase our faith. Show us how to increase our faith. And I think that is a good word. I mean, do you not feel? I mean, I'm talking not just see the words here, increase our faith. The apostle said, show us how to increase our faith. You don't just see it in the text, but you feel it in your being. How many of you would put your hands up? And you can, if you know how to put a hand up on down in the comments, go ahead and put a hand up. You know, little emoji, hands up. You can do that. Or just say, here, you know, there are things that we pray and Lord, show us how to increase our faith. We're not understanding what it is that you're wanting to do in this area of our life. Now, sometimes I think the Lord is saying, I want there to be an adjustment in your life. You need to change something. And I think sometimes our lack of obedience gets in the way. I think that can be a factor that hinders our prayers. In fact, I can show you a verse back in the Psalms that is part of an answer. There are some things that hinder our prayers. Psalm 66. Let me take us over there. Psalm 66. And here we go. I'm going to put this in the NIV 84 because this is the version in which I know it best. Here we go, down at verse 18. It says this, if I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and heard my voice. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. But look at verse 18. What can get in the way? Our sin can get in the way of answered prayer. Sure, Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Maybe increasing our faith is to seek to deal with the sin in our life. If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to it. That's something that can get in the way of answered prayer in our lives. Let me show you another one that sometimes we miss, and I think it's a two-way street, and you'll see in just a moment what I'm talking about. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 7, speaking, this section, verses 1 through 7, speaking of husbands and wives, says this, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as a weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And look at this last sentence, so that nothing will hinder, right there, see the word, hinder your prayers. We want nothing to hinder our prayers. And I mean, especially if you're in a culture where men are simply viewed as superior to women, and some Eastern and especially Middle Eastern cultures are strongly that way. Many Arabian cultures perhaps are that way. Muslim culture, I believe, is that way, where the women, a wife is, she's a tool, she's an object, maybe. And I'm not saying this is always true, but at least it's the impression that I have been given that sometimes that is how a wife may be treated in other places, in other cultures, and sometimes even here in America. But notice, I think it's quite something. And remember, this isn't written in the year 2020 or 2024. This is written 2,000 years ago, where Peter is saying, again, it's in the verse down here, be considerate of your wives so nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, our home relationships can hinder our prayers. So, thinking about how you treat your husband, thinking about how you treat your wife, and relationships. God puts a high premium on right relationships with other people. We see this in the teaching of Jesus over in Matthew chapters 5 and 6. A very, very big premium on that. Let me get into one other place that something else that I believe can hinder our prayers. Down in 1 John chapter 5, here we go. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. I mean, if you know that you've trusted Jesus, you know you have eternal life. Bottom line. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, and this is the key, notice what it says right here, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. How do we know we're praying according to his will? I mean, there are things revealed in the scriptures that we absolutely know are his will. As an example, praying for the opportunity to share Christ with somebody. We know it is God's will that the lost are evangelized. We know it. We know that other people need to hear the pathway of salvation. So as we pray for opportunities to share Christ with people, we know that's within his will. He will open up those doors. Now, there are other things that begin to become a little bit more tricky. As an example, I was at the Maine State House yesterday in some conversations, some of us saying, you know, they're just going through the formality of hearing the hearings because they're required to have the hearings. They've already made up their mind. They already know how they're going to vote. They're already going to vote against the things that we discussed yesterday. They're already going to vote against our stance. They're going to vote pro-abortion. They're going to vote pro-gender reassignment, and they're going to vote that we would be a sanctuary state for those things and for other things that are in that bill. They've already made up their mind. So we're praying and praying and praying, and yet if they vote against what would be our righteous prayers, then the only conclusion we could have is that God's will is at work in another way. And here's an example of what I mean. What I mean is, perhaps God is setting the table for judgment to come on the state of Maine. Perhaps that is the case. Or he's setting the table for, as Maine goes and a bunch of the rest of the country goes, so goes America. And so the table is being set for the end times world scene as it needs to be. In order for the tribulation, if our theology, regardless of whether you're a pre-trib rapture theorist or if you're a post-trib rapture theorist, the tribulation, most of us believe, is going to happen. Now, there are some believers who think that we've already lived it or we're kind of living through it now. I tend to be more of a literalist when I come to the book of Revelation and think that there are very specific things that will happen in the tribulation. As an example, money. Yesterday was the first time I saw on a ATM machine an advertisement for cryptocurrency. And, you know, the question is, will crypto replace money? So those of us like myself, I'm not in the crypto world. A couple of my kids are in the crypto world. Will that be a change that will take place? Will the American dollar completely collapse? Will what has happened here in America and inflation and the printing of more money and all these things that have happened over the last few years especially lead to the collapse of the dollar globally and sets America in a complete different place? It could happen. Now, why am I talking about these things? We're praying for God's will. We think God's will is that America return to being a Christian nation. That makes sense. We ought to pray for that. We ought to pray for spiritual awakening and revival. But spiritual awakening and revival might not come through America being this nice Christianly type of country again. It might come through hardship. It might come through suffering. It might come through difficulty. And So our prayer would be what the apostles were asking in Luke 17 and verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. Now, some of the practicalities of this, how is our faith increased? I think our faith is increased by prayer. I think our faith is increased by looking at the Word of God and the examples of the Word of God and the promises of Word of God. I think those things help us to increase our faith. I think other things that can increase our faith, especially here in Western culture where we have access to books out our ears, is the ability to buy biographies of great Christians. Corrie Ten Boom, I heard there's another biography giving a different angle on the life of Corrie Ten Boom coming up. So if you're a woman, you might want to read the life of Corrie Ten Boom. Or if you're a woman, you might want to read things by Elizabeth Elliot and the story, and that's the Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, Aka Indians, Bridge of Blood story, Through the Gates of Splendor, and some of those books. You might want to read books on prayer. E.M. Bounds. Now, it's a little bit challenging to get going in his books. Or A.W. Tozer is another one that they're a little bit harder to get started in. But once you're going, they'll bolster your faith. How can we increase our faith? Well, through prayer. How can we increase our faith? By intentional worship. And what I mean by intentional worship, and one of the worship team members said to me via a message. In fact, they may have, I don't remember if it was to me or if it was a Facebook post, but just to see people's expressions in worship on Sunday, they said, this one worship team member, Heidi, said, she could just see the worship in people like she's not seen in a long time. And so, Lord, increase our faith that when we sing words, we engage our hearts with those words in song and don't just, okay, let's get through the song to get to the next thing. Now, Lord, really help us to engage our hearts as we sing. That is a way of increasing our faith. Now, he talks about a mustard seed here. And he says, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, we might only get through these two verses today. If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, on Sunday, my pastor, Pastor Jacob, talked about the mustard seed. And I mean, it's the type of thing that you hold your fingers up like this, and it fits in this little V here. It's a very, very, very small seed. And yet a mustard seed can grow into a mustard tree that can be 10, 12 feet tall, and birds can actually come and perch on its branches. Jesus says that in another place. What he's saying is you don't have to have this absolute, incredible, phenomenal, everybody can see it beaming from you type of faith. It only takes a little bit of faith. Now, again, I look at this verse and go, you know, this is challenging to me because I feel like I'm trying to have that little bit of faith, but Lord, where's the answer? And this is a struggle that sometimes we as Christians do have, because we're trying to apply the little bit of faith that we have. Well, sometimes it's that we're looking for an answer that God is going to go saying to us, the answer you're looking for is not the answer I'm going to give because it won't yield the result that we're really looking for in the end of all this. You know, God might be trying to tweak something else in our life, and we're ignoring that in our life, and he is trying to tweak that area, and we're not listening. Or he has something deeper he wants to do in someone's life. But he does say to his disciples here, in this verse, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. I mean, it's the idea, powerful prayers. Another passage, the Mark 11 passage, he says, you know, you can say to this mountain, go into the sea, and it will be cast into the sea. Now, you know, we could take this as the figurative mountains of our lives. the figurative mountains of physical pain in our bodies. That's what I'm trying to deal with. We not to the measure that others of you deal with, just a nagging physical pain that has just seemed to increase of late. And it might just be the fact I've eaten too much bread and too much gluten, and gluten can affect inflammation sensors. And that could be the issue. I might just be stop eating bread, dumb. I mean, that could be the answer to me. And within, you know, a few months, the inflammation goes away and the pain goes away and things are better. Could be that. But for some of you, I mean, you're praying for things like provision for your children and your orphanage. Some of you are praying for the ability to pay your electric bill. That's both here in America and other places in the world. Some are praying, like me, I'm praying for the resources to do all the things that I need to do. This is going to be a heavy year of travel. It should be a heavy year of travel. I need to get to South Sudan. I've got somebody here from America to take with me to kind of begin handing some things over to. I need to get to South Sudan. I will be in South Africa in May. I have a group of people that I need to go to Israel with in September. I will be in India, hopefully in India next fall. And so, Santhus, perhaps maybe then we work something out in October. And I'm praying for God just to provide the resources for that. And you guys are already a part of that. Many of you are already a part of that. You already give and support and pray. And so just pray with me for those things, because why is it important? It's to expand those networks that the gospel would be expanded all around the world, and the disciple makers who would make disciples would be enabled. So that is our prayer. What is your prayer? Where do you need the Lord to increase your faith? What is it that you're trying to trust Him for? Where and just say, Lord, increase my faith. Maybe for all of us, our prayer today is, Lord, increase our faith so that things can be uprooted, so that those trees, the example that Jesus gives, saying to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Lord, we want to have righteous faith. Lord, we want to have our very small faith be increased. We want to see you be at work in phenomenal ways in and through our lives, not so that people are pointing to miracles, but so that people are pointing to Jesus and being drawn to Jesus. It's just like the healing prayers, Lord, that are being asked for in various places. Lord, that you would heal. Because people want to feel your healing. They need your healing effect of things like colds and various types of infections, various types of pains. Lord, some people need to see provision. Lord, we want to be your people. And it's our prayer that you would do these miraculous things so that we would be drawn to you, so that we could point other people to you. So we can say, look at what God has done. So we can say that what Jesus has said here, be uprooted and planted in the sea, it will obey you. Lord, give us more confidence in our faith, but not an arrogant confidence. Lord, give us a confidence that just simply is trusting in you. Lord, increase our faith, I pray. Increase our faith that the gospel and its message may be expanded all around the world. Here in the United States, Lord, where we have so much, that we would realize that having so much, so often we're so poor. Lord, we make it our prayer today, increase our faith to share Christ, and increase our faith to trust you for your provisions. Lord, increase our faith for your healing. Lord, and it's our prayer today. We pray together with our brothers and sisters in places that don't have all that we have here in America. Provide food for orphans. Lord, provide electricity in places where when it's not brick-making season, there is no income. Lord, provide, we pray. Help us to be responsive to your promptings in our hearts that we might glorify you. May we be people not only of saving faith, but of daily faith. And Lord, I thank you for the people who are part of our listening family here who are those people of faith. May we learn from their faith. Lord, I thank you for particularly, I will name one, Nell and her faith. Lord, an example of faith that is for us, an example of faith, an example of worship. So, Father, we do pray, and we see in the comments, Santhus, talking about running an orphanage by the grace of God. We pray for the needs of food and clothes and some of the other needs that they have. Lord, we pray for them. And Lord, I pray that some of my other contacts in India and Santhus, that there would be a connection there that would do far, far more than I would ever have the capacity to do. So, Father, even make that connection happen, I pray. Lord, we look to you. Increase our faith today in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, hear our prayer. Have a good day.